Good evening and salutations. You are listening to The Blowhole with Finkel and Einhorn. Thanks for downloading once again, hopefully, and to any new listeners, welcome. Finkel and Einhorn are nowhere to be found, so filling in tonight are myself, James Radio, and my co-host, Robcast. How's it going, Rob?
Well, you know what? It's going good. I'm optimistic. I'm feeling fine.
Why exactly are you feeling fine?
Because I choose not to feel crappy.
What would you be feeling crappy about?
Well, some people might feel that their first place Miami Dolphins have let them down with their offensive performance in the last two games.
Oh! I don't want to talk about the Dolphins. Not tonight. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about. Have you seen the new Venom movie that's in theaters? I saw it this week.
In a movie theater.
There were like three people there. It was fantastic.
The movie or the theater?
The experience, just going, but I like going to movies by myself, and there was like literally like no one in there, so that was fun.
Did you go to one of the ones with like the big seats, the big cushy seats?
I did not, actually. I went to, where did I go? The Sundial, downtown St. Petersburg. One of their just standard theaters. It was a matinee. It was cheap. It was, you know, for the money, it was good. And yeah, I had a good time. I actually, the movie was much better than the critics are giving it credit for. As a comic book nerd and someone who grew up reading a lot of comic books, Spider-Man was my favorite. I didn't have very high expectations going into this. I didn't know how they were going to tell a Venom movie without any Spider-Man story. So, it was interesting. I thought they actually did a nice job. Tom Hardy was fantastic, as always, and I really enjoyed it. I liked the Venom character. I liked the way they were able to pull it off, and it was basically like a 2.5 or 2 hour movie about Eddie Brock for the most part. There wasn't even all that much Venom in it either. It was good. It was a nice beginning to a story. Like, I would definitely want to see the sequel.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, wow. a solid B. Like, it's not like the greatest movie
this
ever.
This is more shocking than blowing a 17-3 lead in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you had to do it. You had to do it, huh? All right, so why don't we talk about... We'll talk about Sunday. All right, let's talk about what happened on Sunday. You want to start, or... I'll give you the floor. Go ahead.
No, you go
Since
ahead.
Since you're dying to talk about
you
it
You go
so
ahead, because you're going to start as... You're going to focus on the negatives... And I'm gonna be positive this whole podcast. I'm into it. I'm like, God damn, we're 3-2. We lost two games that before the season didn't look like we'd probably win anyway. This is not the end of the world.
Well, if you had your stupid little button noise, I was gonna flip it on you because I was gonna be like, well, get ready because I don't feel that bad about it. I thought they they should have won the game. Oh. I said they were gonna lose, and they actually played much better than I thought they were gonna play. There was obviously a lot to be concerned about, and you hate losing like that, but you touched on it. They're 3-2. They're tied for first place. The Bengals are a very good football team, and we should have won the game. So there's some positives to be had there. Obviously, the offense is a problem. We'll delve into that a little bit. But, I mean, overall, feeling-wise, like, I don't know. I wasn't even – I mean, sure, I was pissed watching it, but, I mean, it wasn't like – it's the Dolphins. I mean, like, we're used to this, right?
It's fixable. I don't know if they'll fix it, but it's fixable.
Sure.
It was one of those games that reminded me of those Jet games, like those few years where like it didn't matter how bad the Jets were, we couldn't beat them, like every bounce would go against us.
Yep.
And it was just that one play just sticks in my head. It was like a second and long. Palmer? Oh, my God.
Remember Carson Palmer? They both have red hair.
I am starting this off terribly. All right, so Andy Dalton...
Your senility is really kicking in.
It's really kicking in. Yeah. So Dalton's running around. Somebody's got a hand on him. He sidearms this terrible pass, and because the pass...
Oh, the touchdown. The one offensive touchdown they scored.
Yes, and it was a terrible pass. Kiko Alonso got turned around, and Mixon makes a great play to get the ball and sneak into the end zone, but that... So many things had to go that shouldn't have happened. And if that touchdown doesn't happen there, this doesn't happen. And even the two pick sixes, like,
oh, those were ridiculous.
They were absurd, bouncing off of a helmet right into the guy's arms. Like, those could have been incompletions or sacks or something. Like, this didn't have to go this way.
Do you feel like that was kind of karma for the two touchdowns that Tannehill got credit for in the Raiders game that were not really touchdown passes? So this was like, hey, these weren't really terrible interceptions that he threw, or like bad decisions that he made. It was just like, I
was going to say it was karma for the McCain fake injury timeout against the...
No, we already had the karma for that because he's actually injured.
I know. So yeah. That way that actually already happened.
Right.
But maybe it's double karma. You know, like you don't just get... You have to pay...
You don't just get free 70-yard touchdown passes.
It's the tax. You know, it's the karma tax. You get what you deserve and then you get a little extra.
I am very, very troubled with Tannehill's performance through the first five games. I mean, I thought the first three games he was fine.
But even so, like, he wasn't great. Like,
no.
The offense made some big plays. They did what they had to do. But it wasn't like, wow, look at him go.
He's had flashes. The right. the Stills touchdown pass in the Tennessee game was great. The whole first half of the Jets game, I thought he was really, really solid. The Raiders game, he didn't make many mistakes. Honestly, the penalties really hurt him there. So I think he was good in the first three games. He was awful in New England. And then, you know... In Cincinnati, he didn't really show you much. In the first half, he was serviceable. In the second half,
all right, I'm the optimist here. You can go with awful. He was also awful in Cincinnati. He had that great throw to Drake. Whoa, we had a Drake sighting.
Drake played. I love Kenyon Drake.
Drake lives.
I don't think. Yeah, actually, I don't think that's come through on the podcast as much. Like as much as I love Kenyon Drake, I don't think that's really come through at all. I love Kenyon Drake. He might be my favorite Dolphin, except for Xavier Howard. Current Dolphin.
Yeah. So that's the jersey you won't buy to ruin him.
I'm not buying any jerseys.
It almost seems like he knew, like they knew you would have bought his jersey, and therefore he started playing. Like he just was non-existent in the first few weeks.
Yeah, this is one of the things I noticed about Drake last year too was and I think this is probably a product of him playing at Alabama is how well he blocks or he picks up blitzes. That chip he had on Lawson was that was a thing of beauty where he just flattened him and then went out into the flat and caught the pass
on like a third and a million that we give those up but we never get those.
That
like,
was such an amazing play
that made me feel like we can do this.
That was one of my favorite Dolphin plays
and
of
then,
recent memory.
I don't have the facts, but then we probably ran three terrible plays and punted or threw a pick six, one of those things.
I don't think that was followed up by it might have been followed up by a pick six. I think there was like a holding penalty on like the next, so they were like in third and long or second and long again. And yeah, the second half was, the fourth quarter specifically, was just very, very difficult to watch. And it was unfortunate because of how well they had played up until that point as a team. And you hate to see for the defense, you feel bad because they were lights out. That was one of the better performances I can, of recent memory, from a Miami Dolphins defense.
Yes. Well, they've been, the only times they've played poorly this year is when they've been on the field too long.
Yeah.
Their defense is they're beyond my expectations. I think their defense is playing great, but they're not the Bears.
No.
Not to get ahead of ourselves here.
they were getting off the field when they had to. That TJ McDonald penalty, I didn't care for. I mean, I guess it makes sense. That was on the drive where the Bengals got their one offensive touchdown because that was a third down that they got a free first down on, and then they went on to score a touchdown after that.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that play? It was on the line. I feel like we're all the ones that are on the line are going against us. Did you feel like that was clearly a what do they call roughing? Unsportsmanlike.
But that was the one. It was after the fact. It wasn't like a late hit that he actually got called. He actually did some. He got in his face on the sideline.
Nope.
Not that one. Yep. Oh.
Yeah. This was a different play. So it was third and long. Pass on the sideline was over the receiver's head.
Oh, right.
He came and he hit him. I don't think he led with his helmet. I don't think that's what they called. I think they called hitting a
defenseless
receiver.
I thought that was weak.
I guess I get it. Like he didn't lay into him.
Honestly, I felt like it was weak, but this season, you can't complain. People have got these calls are happening,
especially if you're the Dolphins, and it seems like you're getting called on all of them. So you got to be a little bit. You got to have that in your head.
Well. At least we're not Clay Matthews.
touche.
If he looks at a quarterback, they throw flags at him.
This tequila is delicious, by the way.
It is. Esplanon.
We're not allowed to say that. They're not an advertiser.
No, no, that's my buddy who gave it to me. My buddy, oh, my buddy Esteban. My buddy Esteban.
Esteban. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Esteban. This is delicious. God.
Awesome.
We're going to need cases of this to get through the season.
So, do we want to try something crazy? Something we haven't done yet? Something we might want to bring in a Bears fan.
Oh, I was going to say, did you want to talk more about Venom?
Well, he might want to talk about Venom.
Oh,
he
sweet. Then, yeah, let's bring him on. Let's get him on. We're going to try and call him?
Yes, we are going to try to call him. So let's see how this goes.
A Bears fan, huh? And he lives in Florida. What's his name again? Oh, Matthew. Matthew, yes. Michael. All right. Excellent. Yeah, so we're going to try and give Matthew a call to talk about the upcoming Bears game. I'll give some thoughts on, you know, going into last week, I thought it was a coin flip. And I also said the Dolphins were going to get stomped in Cincinnati, and they did not. So I'm not really changing my feelings on whether or not the Dolphins are going to win or lose this Bears game. I still think it's about 50-50. We're going to talk about lines and points in a minute. That does remind me, hey, Rob, who won? How did we do last week in our pick'em?
Okay, so if I had to look.
I know. I just want to hear you say it.
Sorry. I have to do some work on the...
Yeah, you do the work. I'll just tell everybody what happened. So on the three games that we disagreed on last week, so you may remember the first podcast, Rob went 3-0. But it was pretty close. Like, there were some wishy-washy
ones. Hold on. We might have somebody on the call.
But I was solid this past week. So I said the Dolphins would lose by 7. They lost by 10. I said the Steelers would cover. They more than covered. And I also said the Giants would cover. And the Giants should have won the game, actually, but they lost and covered. So yes, I went 3-0 this week.
So
we're now 3-3.
I went 3-0 in the first week, and you snuck in 3-0 this week.
No. You snuck in a 3-0 the first week, and I definitively went 3-0.
Hang on one second. I'm going to see what. We're going to work on our technical difficulties.
All right.
We do have on the line, we have Matthew Scheel. He is a Chicago Bears fan. Figured we'd get a little, maybe it's not just because we want to hear somebody who's happy about the way their team is playing, but we want to get a little insight into what we're up against this week. Matt is he has a podcast of his own, the Matt and Dave Show. He is the Matt of the Matt and Dave Show, so you guys may want to check that out. There will be no football talk on that at all. It's all pop culture and all the nerdy stuff that James Radio and I love. So you guys would probably love it as well. So Matt, welcome to the Blowhole.
Thanks for having me. Bear down.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
You mean fins up. That's what you mean. You mean fins
up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we tried that bit already about one glass of tequila ago when we weren't recording.
It worked.
Yeah. All right.
So you are, as we said, you are a Bears fan. So how are you feeling about your Bears this year?
I feel much better this year than I have the previous, 7.
Oh boy. It's been that long, hasn't it?
No, it's been a long time. I mean, we suffered, I think 3 years, John Fox, 2 years of Trestman, and who knows what else, but, yeah, we're feeling good this year. You know, I mean, I think during the off season, you know, the Bears did a great job marketing the team and getting the fans hyped and kind of making us forget about the previous 3-5 years and, drinking the Kool-Aid this summer and landing Khalil Mack right before the start of the season was
so
fantastic.
What are you going to get John Gruden for Christmas?
I tell you, apparently he needs a pass rusher because they are hard to find.
They are hard to come by. Who would have thunk it?
Shocking.
I know. I mean, shocking. Who would have thought? But I guess they're really hard to find. If he can't find any, listen, if he has any more players he wants to send our way, we'll take him because he obviously does not know how to rate his defensive players.
I don't think they have any other
good
defensive players.
Yeah, the Dolphins beat the Raiders. They don't have any players to send your way.
No very good defensive players.
Although... you might want that car, fellow.
I don't know. Well, I mean, he's
I don't know, man. Okay, 6 touchdowns for Mitch Trubisky last week or 2 weeks ago was a great thing. I don't think we're going to see that this weekend. You're welcome. I still feel we're going to win. It's not going to be by 6 touchdowns, but. I really would rather ride Mitch Trubisky out, see how he's going to do. I mean, I think the Bucs game was his 16th game So technically, like, that was the end of his rookie season. Now we're on to his second season. Who was it that said? Somebody said, you know, you're not a veteran until you've played 16 games in the NFL. And I think last week was his 16th game. So hopefully we'll start to see who he really is. I'll take my chances with Trubisky. I'll pass on Carr. Definitely pass on Tannehill. Mm. You guys can have him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
I all. I think with another quarterback, I think the Dolphins would definitely be contenders.
Like they, another quarterback like Jay talent. Cutler?
Well, come on. To be fair, I think Denver had a good Jay Cutler. The Bears had the once in a while good Jay Cutler. We got the out of the booth Jay Cutler.
So you want Matt Moore is what you're saying.
I love
Matt Moore so much.
I think the one thing we can agree on this week is that we're both glad we don't have Jay Cutler on our team.
Very true.
Yes. And he's the last. He did. He spurned both of our teams. That's like are we Eskimo brothers? Because he... he slept with both of us, with both our teams.
I don't think you know what that term really means.
I don't. I've had quite a bit to drink, actually.
So, honest question for both of you. How many offensive touchdowns will there be in this game Sunday? If I put the under-over at 1.5.
1 second. Before we get to that, there was one thing that Matthew said that I wanted to touch on. So, the Bears marketing campaign, was it... Did it involve any Super Bowl shuffle type videos or anything near as good as that?
No, actually, I don't know if you're familiar, but they've got a whole comic book thing going on with their marketing campaign.
I did see that because the Dolphin one had like the Dolphin looks like it looks very fierce. It has a six pack. Have you seen this, Rob?
I have not.
Oh,
and
man,
that's
great.
Would haunt me.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
it's a dolphin. It's like a man dolphin in like a
awesome.
Superhero thing. It's really weird. So I want to say one of the former Bears, I want to say Israel Adonijé is a comic book fan, and he created this whole comic series for the Bears, drew all of the players as a superhero, drew every opponent, their mascot as like a villain, and they have this whole thing going on. It started in the offseason. It's carried over. It's pretty cool.
This sounds like an excellent segue into my Venom conversation that
yet.
I really want
just
to start.
Wait. First of all, I want to know if you think if I put the under over at 1.5 for offensive touchdowns
for
in this
both
game,
teams?
For both teams combined.
Oh, over. For sure.
Combined?
Yeah.
Over.
There's
going to
be more
over.
Than one
definitely
touchdown
over.
On offense.
Yeah. I think you're probably going to look at a 24-17 game. That's going to be the score.
That sounds about right. And honestly, I feel like it could go either way. Like, I mean, and this isn't me being, I'm not a Dolphins homer, but I mean, I love the Dolphins, but I'm a realist. I've been watching them for a very long time. I've actually watched a handful of Bears games recently, you know, in the Trubisky era. So, I mean, which is short, granted. I saw the Bucs game. Like, obviously, we know that that's not the norm. But, I mean, he doesn't seem to implode, I will say that. Like, I haven't seen... He might not play well, but he doesn't throw...
Right.
Like, he's not throwing crippling pick sixes or anything like that.
No,
well,
no
that's one of the things that the Bears really asked of him to do was, you know, to be himself and to, you know, protect the football, but take chances. They want that gunslinger mentality. They want him to be himself. And one of the things that they really liked about him coming out of college and one of the things his teammates love about him is how cool and calm and collected he is. He throws a pick. He misses a wide receiver. He goes on to the next play and tries to make something happen and stays positive. So I think they like Mitch after the Cutler era because there's no, you know, he's very even keeled, positive. He talks up his teammates. He's a team player. You know, he doesn't take plays off. He doesn't sit on the bench and cry like a baby like Cutler
did. He exercises
did.
And so. Seems to actually care about football.
You mean he doesn't smoke
absolutely.
In the huddle?
He's not smoking cigarettes.
So, and I think the best thing I can say, oh, there you go. The best thing I can say about Trubisky is when he is off the mark, he's so far off the mark that it also can't be intercepted as well as caught.
That's true.
That's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be like Tannehill where he's trying to throw the ball on the ground and it hits somebody's helmet and pops right up into somebody's hands and then they run it 20 yards for a touchdown on two separate occasions.
That couldn't
in
happen.
The fourth quarter. Of one football game.
That's you're making that up.
No, it actually happened. It did. I saw it on Sunday.
So
let's hope that happens again this weekend.
So Matt, you are predicting a Bears win. They are laying.
I do.
Four points. You think they even cover? You see them winning by 7.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just think our offense is still suspect, and the Dolphins have a great secondary. I think the matchup between Fitzpatrick and Taylor Gabriel is going to be something to watch. But you know, ultimately, I think Mac's going to have another strip. He's going to have another strip sack, and we're gonna see a strong defensive side of the ball as we do. It's really going to be for the Bears. It's going to be if the offense can put enough points on the board, and really, you know, that's going to be the key to the game. I think that's the key to all the Bears games. I just don't think the Dolphins have enough offensively to overcome the defense right now.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I and honestly, with the way our offensive line is banged up and the way they're playing, I am scared as heck about that defense. Oh, here's one for you. Dolphins rushing touchdowns versus Khalil Mack touchdowns. What would you bet on being higher?
Well, Khalil Mack has one touchdown, so I'm going to say
the
Dolphins
have
higher.
One rushing touchdown as well. So, oh, it's
in,
a wash.
In this game, honestly, I don't see the Dolphins getting a rushing touchdown. So yep. I would probably, if I had to bet that, would just bet the Khalil Mack because that's more possible. And that's
yeah,
ridiculous.
I think the Bears have the number three.
I
think the Bears have the number three rushing defense right now.
That's okay because the Dolphins have the worst offense.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, that plays right into our hands. No, wait. Hold on. I need to drink more.
Wait, this is backwards. So,
take another drink.
Yeah. So, you know, before we called you, Matt, I was trying to be the most positive. I was keeping myself as optimistic as possible, but the two of you have depressed me to no end.
There were a couple things that I just one, you know, like, so Tunsil, right? If he plays, which he's been practicing.
He looks like he'll play. He was in limited practice for 2 days straight. Tomorrow will be a big thing.
Right.
If he doesn't play, I'm not watching this game.
Well, no, you might get to see Kenyon Drake chip on Khalil Mack. We'll see how that goes. I don't know.
There
it worked
go.
Out pretty well in Cincinnati. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to lay it.
Carl Lawson, Khalil Mack, what's the difference?
Sure. You know, I mean, you said Carl Lawson was your NFC player of the year or whatever in your Madden game.
He was great in the Madden team I drafted.
Either way. So, no, but I'm actually interested to see, because we've been kind of, like, with Laremy Tunsil, we don't know what we have there. He's been playing well pretty much this year. When he went out last week, that game went off the handle. So, this is the best test you're going to get. You're going against the best pass rusher directly one-on-one. So I think, you know, there are some things here. I mean, it was like when we were going into New England, we were saying this is a test. Like, we're going to get to learn some things about this team. Obviously, we saw what we did not want to see in New England. They played well in Cincinnati last week, I thought, because Cincinnati's a good team, and I think, you know, they very easily could have won that game. So there was that. This will be another one of those. We'll get some answers. Some of the things
I've
that we
made an
really,
optimist of
really
you.
Wanted. No matter what happens, like, I mean, they're the Dolphins. Like, we know what's going to happen. So, but I mean, in the end, but on Sunday, I mean, I think it's going to be close. I'm, you know, just because I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm leaning towards the Dolphins and they're at home, but. I think they can win. I think if Tunsil plays, I think, you know, he might do a serviceable job on Mac. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm also looking forward to seeing Gase call plays against an excellent defense.
I am not looking forward to that. He's been awful this year.
He really has. It's been bad.
Well, I mean, to his credit, he has, you know, I mean, he's a great offensive play caller. It's just he doesn't have much offense to work with.
Well, I mean, yes, because they've proven that. But I feel they built this team for speed. He built this team specifically for a reason, and doesn't seem like he can call the plays to maximize what they have. That going back a couple of weeks, that New England game was ridiculous. They have the slowest linebackers, and they did no runs for Tannehill. There was no, like, stretch plays.
No
everything,
misdirection.
Everything was right up into the heart of it, and it was like, no, yeah, it just didn't make sense. They are not the most talented team on offense, but they've got weapons, and it doesn't seem like, it seems like they're very predictable, and you have to trick people in the, you know, in the NFL if you want to, you know, you want to score. And they did against the Raiders, you know, they had a couple of those, but you have to have better play call.
And they have a quarterback who at his best is above average.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, let's be honest, from what we've seen this year, like, that's, and from what we've seen in the past 6 years, I guess, that's his best.
I know.
It's passable, but you're not gonna. He's not.
I really thought I was really hoping to see more for him at this point in the season.
I mean,
Not even wins or losses.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say, Matt?
When he went down last year, I think that was the devastation right there. I mean, that was supposed to be his year. You know, he was going to come out. Expectations were high, and then he got injured right away. You know, it was unfortunate. But, you know, I think Tannehill is another Blake Bortles. I think he's somebody who is, you know, average, maybe slightly above average at best. And for some reason, the team just will not move on from him
Why
for whatever reason.
Why do you have to hurt me like that?
That's a very good comparison. I'm going to say
it's the truth. You know, Blake Bortles doesn't win games. They win games in spite of Blake Bortles.
Occasionally he wins games, though.
It's the same thing with Ryan Tannehill. I think the Dolphins win games in spite of him.
Yeah, I think we're about to find that out. I was, you know, being a fan, was hoping he could prove everyone wrong. But, I mean, he's 30 already. He's not young. It's not like he's waiting to put it together. Yes, he had the lost season, but it's an early season. They can, you know, things can change. But we definitely need to see him do some things to win a game by himself, you know, make a couple crazy plays.
That second half of Gase's first year with Tannehill was kind of a turning point for him. It looked like he was, you know, not a great quarterback, but they could win with him, and they were winning consistently with him. And this is the first he's been back since then, and they're 3-2. I mean, they won 3 games. They beat the Titans, who are a good team, not a great team. They beat the Jets, who are not a good team, and they beat the Raiders, who are not a good team. Tannehill played good in those games.
Can I just... The Titans...
Well, he played well. He played well.
The Titans lost to the Dolphins and Bills, and they've
beat the Jaguars.
The Jaguars and... Mm-hmm.
The Eagles.
And the Eagles. That's insane.
Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not a bad team.
No, but they are a Jekyll and Hyde
team. But it also
speaks
to the NFL, too, right? Like, there's no team is that much better than the other one, except when it's the Patriots and the Dolphins in Foxborough.
And that's the thing. The two games, we lost on the road to New England, on the road to Cincinnati. And I mean, I think Cincinnati might be the third best team in the AFC right now. So that's not an end. It's the way we lost the last two games that hurts more than the fact that we lost them.
Yeah, and the top three teams in the AFC, I think, are very close. Matt, where do you think the Bears fall in the NFC, actually? I'm kind of curious.
You know, I want to say, I mean, they're 3-1. They're top of their division. And I believe they have the, like, fourth best record in the NFC. I still think they're kind of maybe middle of the pack. The defense, getting Khalil Mack takes them from middle of the pack, maybe to upper middle.
Yeah.
But I mean, people are predicting them to make a wild card. I think it's a pretty good prediction. If we see an ounce of what Mitch Trubisky did two Sundays ago against the Bucks for the rest of the season, and the defense can stay healthy and continue to dominate. I mean, Mack is just inspiring those guys. Vic Fangio is a fantastic coordinator. I think we have a good shot. But I really, all I was hoping to see this year is some exciting football and not a losing season. If we finish 8-8 and just miss the playoffs, finish maybe third, I just don't want to finish dead last in the NFC North again. And I'll tell you what, when Green Bay comes to Chicago, if they beat Green Bay in Chicago week 15, that'll be my Super Bowl. I'll be happy. And then we can hibernate. Hibernate till next season and go on. And I really think next season is going to be the season for us. I think, you know, the Rams are unbelievable. I think the Chiefs are great. I think the AFC is way stronger than the NFC right now. So I really think the Bears are going to finish maybe upper middle of the league, maybe just miss the playoffs by a game.
And we know all about those meaningless late season games against, you know, the Patriots for us, like last year when Cutler destroyed them on Monday night last year.
Oh, he looked so good.
That was like, that was, I'll never stop talking
about
that.
That's the thing about Cutler, man. He always rises when there's no occasion.
There was absolutely no occasion, but that was beautiful. That was excellent. That was my Super Bowl. Yeah, there you go.
Yep, that is true. Yeah. So now that you guys have depressed me about the Dolphins against the Bears. So, Matt,
well, hey,
I just said they had a chance.
I know.
I'm trying to throw it back to Venom for you. I know.
I don't think. Listen, I don't think they have a chance, but I think that the Dolphins are a little bit better than you're giving them credit for. if they lose this week, it'll be against one of the top three defenses in the league. They'll be 3-3. You guys will be all right.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's again, losing this one's not the end of the world, but being at home,
right,
you want to find a way to win it, even if you have to, like,
Yeah, this was before the season started. We had this circled as a pretty sure win.
Oh, before Khalil Mack, this was like a
woo. And then after Khalil Mack, it became a total coin flip. So,
and then after the first four, 5 weeks of the season,
they're 3-2.
All right, they're 3-2. So just to throw back a little bit, because as I met, Matt has his other podcast, the Matt and Dave Show, and they do like to talk pop culture stuff. They like
to talk about movies and
stuff going on. So Matt, do you have any inkling to go see Venom in the theater?
I have not had any interest to see Venom since the first trailer that showed no Venom.
Well, that's fair. That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, actually, I'm a big fan of the Seth MacFarlane original Venom Spider-Man.
Yes.
You know, so I'm a firm believer that you can't really have Venom until you have the black suit Spider-Man. I'm a little familiar with what this movie is. I know that this movie is more of the ultimate Venom storyline. That's fine. I'm okay with that. It's just not my Venom. You know, there's nothing really about it that excites me. It's an obvious cash grab from Sony trying to milk all they can from the Marvel properties that they have. You can't fault them for that because they're a struggling studio. But I have zero interest to see it. Now, I was interested to see the reviews, and the reviews when they first came out were awful. They backed up everything I felt. And then the average viewer went, and the fans went to go see it. And now it's the number one movie. It's breaking all kinds of October records. My curiosity has peaked.
Yeah. So everything you said is exactly how I feel. Like everything you said is exactly what I felt. And it was because I started seeing the viewership. Cause I have lost faith in movie critics. I'm sorry. I don't know if you have, I have completely lost faith in movie critics. So, I put no stake. I mean, obviously when I heard all the reviews coming out at first, I was like, oh, it's just as I thought, it's crap.
Yeah, but you loved Solo.
I didn't love Solo.
All right, it was fun. We won't go on that.
Yeah, that we're not going to.
I love Solo.
What's that?
I thought Solo was the best Star Wars movie, the actual Star Wars movie since Empire.
Nice. I'm not gonna go that far. I liked it. I mean, I purchased it and I very much enjoyed it. Like I didn't think it was bad at all. But no, on the Venom topic, like and hearing you talk, like, just go see it. Like that, I will say that. Like, I would recommend, like, you should see it. Like, I had zero expectations. I mean, it's not great by any stretch of the imagination. I love Tom Hardy. I think he makes a fantastic Eddie Brock. Like, I thought, I mean, it's basically, it's 2 hours of Ed Hardy dealing with being Eddie Brock and, like, everything that's, like, going wrong with Eddie Brock's life.
Ed Hardy?
I said Tom Hardy, didn't I? Did I say Ed Hardy?
You might have.
You said Ed Hardy. I was gonna let it go.
Shit.
Is that the Venom suit?
Did I call him Ed Hardy at the beginning?
No, you just did it. Yeah,
did he have a white tiger on the front of his costume?
That's what lost me was the Ed Hardy shirt.
No. Tom Hardy. I love Tom Hardy. He's a fantastic actor, and he does. I mean, I feel like this is a very strong performance for him. He's playing Eddie Brock, obviously. So
for Grace is my Eddie Brock.
Jesus Christ.
I love Tom Hardy too, and you know I forgive him for Bane in Dark Knight Rises. I don't think that was his fault.
No,
you know?
Absolutely not.
He's a great actor. I've seen him in some great stuff. You know, the idea of him as Eddie Brock as Venom, it's exciting. It's just from what I saw and what I'm even the people who are liking it are going, well, it's not great, but it's fun. It's good. You know, it's fine. Rob knows how I feel about spending my money at the theater and giving my money to the studios for things that I don't support.
$6.41 at the Sundial for the matinee. That's what I did. Went in there. There was nobody in the theater. It was great. It was worth all $6.41 of my money.
I waited to see Justice League until I saw it for free on the airplane.
Woo!
That's where I said,
oh, man, it's so much better than Justice League. It is way
And the only reason why I watched
Justice
it is because
League.
I was stuck on the plane. I had nowhere else to go, so I might as well just watch Justice League.
So much better than Justice League is like saying Tannehill is so much better than Cutler. It doesn't really matter.
Venom is better than Tannehill. I will say.
Listen, I'm hopeful that they did an origin story. It's made a lot of money. Obviously, there'll be a sequel. Hopefully, the sequel will be good. You know, the sequels, sometimes when you get past the origin story, the sequels can be better because you can tell more of a story. You can get more into the lore of it.
Have you read anything about the post-credit scene?
I have not. I know Carnage is mentioned or something. I don't know.
Not going to spoil it, but the post-credit scenes, it's one of the better post-credit scenes I've ever seen in any comic book movie. And I'm not going to say who's there, but I mean, it's...
More so than Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury in Iron Man 1.
Well, that was more, I mean, for that, I mean, that's like a shock factor too, because it was like kind of the first time it would ever happen. Now it's kind of expected, so I guess you kind of lose that shock value there. But this was, I mean, for me, being a Spider-Man, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. Like, that was my comic growing up. Love the McFarlane Spider-Man, love the black suit, love all of that. Totally, like, 100% agreed with everything you said about, like, I didn't understand how they're going to make this movie without having any kind of tie to Spider-Man. But I think, and one of the reviews I was reading actually, that was actually one of the more positive reviews, was on Vox about this movie doing so well. And even though it didn't get like a great, you know, critics review, but I think the movie doing so well, you know, financially, I think it actually leaves the door open to it, like to having some kind of crossover with the Marvel universe if they ever get there. So,
well, I don't know if you heard this, but the reason why they ended up making it a PG-13 movie and not a rated R movie was because they wanted to leave that door kind of cracked open.
Yep.
They didn't feel like an R-rated Venom could cross over with a PG-13 Tom Holland Spider-Man. So,
yeah, agreed. And
that might have been the smartest thing that they did. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, watch it. It sounds like you have a similar feeling on the whole the genre and Spider-Man and Venom just in general. But no, I thought it was, I mean, obviously like Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire was one of the worst, maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. So this was actually seeing Venom on screen done somewhat right. Like it just made me happy. Like it was fun. It was great seeing the Eddie Brock character developed. Tom Hardy's amazing. You get to see a little bit of Venom. Honestly, the special effects are great. Like the way Venom looks is amazing. Like I don't think that came through in the trailers either.
No, he looks terrible in the trailers.
Yeah, in the movie
he looks terrible.
It really comes through. Like I don't know. I agree. In the trailers, it looked awful. Like I wanted no part of this movie. Like I was just like, whatever. I'll pay the $6 and go see it on a Monday. Whatever.
Well,
and it was great. Not great. It was a B. Like I give it a B.
You may not have convinced me to spend $6, but you have convinced me that I will probably rent it instead of waiting for it to be free.
Fair.
Yeah, Rob. You know me. I'll probably wait for it to come out on the library and rent it for free there.
The library. That's awesome.
Matt loves the library.
That's great. The library is awesome. It's a good place.
All right. So, again, we got a little off topic there, off Dolphins topic, but we warned you that was going to happen.
Oh, that's okay. I don't want to talk about the Dolphins.
I know you don't, but I want to let the folks know that if they enjoy that kind of, you mind if I call it nerd talk? Because, you know, just kind of get into the weeds a little bit on the pop culture stuff. You know, you might want to check out the Matt and Dave show because Matt and his co-host Dave do love to talk about these kind of things. And so that would, if you enjoyed that, you will definitely want to check them out.
We do. We try to broaden our horizons and talk a little bit of everything, music and movies and books. And I mean, I think we were talking theme parks last week, so.
Nice.
We try to do everything for the nerds, for the, you know, for the soccer moms, the kids, I don't know, whatever, the pets.
I like it.
Awesome.
You think maybe we can get some cross listeners? We only have like 12. How many do you have?
I think we have 13, and Rob would be 13. So.
Oh, all right. So there's a little bit of crossover there. Okay. Well, I think we can combine the audiences. Maybe we can get them, you know, maybe we can talk some football. Combined.
Let's shoot for 14. All right.
Yeah. Nice. Aim for the sky.
Awesome. Well, Matt, I want to congratulate you on
shoot
your Chicago Bears with their hot start.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the driver's seat of that division, which they may not hold, but that's you know what? It's a great start.
It should be a good game.
I will take
Sunday.
It. Yes. I petitioned to have the season end last week, but they didn't listen to me, so we got to play another.
You might have needed a few more signatures for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, awesome. I want to thank you for coming on the Blowhole.
And, my pleasure.
And I want to wish you nothing but ill will on Sunday, and I hope your team implodes and is awful, and they can win all the rest of their games.
Yeah, I don't want Khalil Mack to get hurt. I want him to have a really good time in Miami on Saturday night and maybe maybe miss a little bit of the game.
And feel free to break Tom Brady in half.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they play them this year. That's right.
We play them in Chicago, I think, the week after, I believe. Either the week after or 2 weeks after we play the Dolphins.
Again, not wishing injury on anybody, but
But no,
do
no,
bad
no,
things to Tom
hurt,
Brady.
Hurt his feelings.
Like, yeah. even a hungover Khalil Mack is going to be better than a Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, it's so
oh, Ryan
true.
Tannehill's never hungover. That's the problem. Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's the problem.
I'll send him this tequila.
Yeah, this stuff is delicious. Thanks for joining, Matt. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
That went well.
Yeah,
that
we
was
had
our first ever
call-in guest.
Yeah. All right, so maybe we can open that up for future.
Yes, if we had any friends and they were fans of teams that weren't the Dolphins, we could have them on, or maybe we'll just have an average dumb sports fan on from time to time.
Oh, yes. Oh, I have several of those. We'll get those on for sure.
Awesome.
All right, so I guess we didn't really get into predictions. I mean, Matt said 24-17 Bears. What do you think, Rob?
I'm going Dolphins 10, Bears 9.
Oh, geez. Oh, man. So, yeah, you take the under on the touchdowns then.
I do.
All right. I don't think it's going to be that low scoring. Not in today's NFL. I'm thinking 24-17 sounds right. I actually like I'm going to say I'm going to take a 17-16 Dolphins win.
Ooh, look at us. Look at us rooting for the Dolphins. And
defense bends but doesn't break. Keeps them out of the end zone a bunch. Holds them to a lot of field goals.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe a touchdown at the end. Not at the very end, because we know we're not very good at that. But somewhere late in the fourth quarter, Dolphins get a touchdown and win. Maybe on defense.
Probably.
All right. All right.
Mitchell Trubisky. Ryan Tannehill.
All right.
It's the NFL.
So we talked about last week, a really heartbreaking, gut-wrenching loss. We got a Bears fan on. We got some Bears perspective. They're doing very, very well this season. I think it's going to be a good game on Sunday. And in spite of how the last 2 weeks have gone, I think the Dolphins have actually played well this year as well. Honestly, you can throw the Patriots game out. Like that was a bad game. But the other four games they've played, they played well. They really could have won that Bengals game. So, and the Bengals are a very good football team. So I guess let's move on to the picks for this week. Or do you want to talk about how Rob and I are actually playing each other in fantasy football this week? I'll let Rob gloat about how well his fantasy team is doing in my league right now.
You know what? I have a couple players on bye, and you're a 10-point favorite by the useless predictions.
That's right.
But I am 5-0. I do have the most points scored, and I have won the league 2 years running.
A little context here. Rob came into our league. Our league has been around for 10 years. Rob came in 2 years ago, and he's won it 2 years in a row. Rob is a witch at fantasy football.
And last year, I had the number one overall pick. And David Johnson went out in week one, and I still won the damn
league. He did. He won, but he did not, like, dominate all year. He snuck into the playoffs and then just made it through. It was Alvin Kamara, I think, was the
that helped
the difference. But, no, Rob is very, very good at fantasy football. So this week we are playing. It is football team. That is Robcast's team. And then my team is the Hell Satans. That's James Radio's football team. So I've been in this. I started this league. I commissioned this league. I actually wrote a fantasy football recommendation blog for the Finsider for years. It was called Strikes and Gutters. So now Rob is in the league and he's been dominating. I have not won. I am the only person that's won the league 3 times. Rob has now won twice. He's also the only other person to win twice in a row. I had been the only person that won twice in a row that repeated as champion. That was years ago. But no, we're going into where it's a heated battle. I'm favored to win. I'm on a hot streak. I'm 3-2. I'm doing well. I have really, really strong wide receivers. It's a PPR. I have Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods, and Zach Ertz as my tight end. So, and this is a PPR. And then my running backs are, who are my running backs? I forgot.
Elliott and Lynch.
Ezekiel Elliott, Marshawn Lynch. I had Kenyon Drake as my number two running back, but, that didn't pan out so good.
That's funny. I see Kenny Stills and Kenyon Drake on your bench.
Yep, they're sitting on the bench. That's correct. Not starting them this week.
Well,
I also started the Bengals defense last week, and that was a huge...
Oh, my God.
Huge win for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can all stab me for doing that, but whatever.
Well, you got Carson Wentz, and he's already got a touchdown.
We didn't talk about this Thursday night game. We're supposed to do that before the show every week. God, you tequila are so delicious.
It's quite all right because it's an awful game to me. The Eagles and Giants.
I always like those NFC East games.
I mean, I like them, but I don't want to watch them.
Oh, yeah, I know. But they're like, for some reason, that reminds me of like my early childhood fandom for some reason.
It looked like it was a 3-point game. Excuse me. And the Eagles already have a 7-3 lead.
You're so old, you're falling apart. You're falling apart over there. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll
Can you
be
finish
okay.
the podcast? You want me to carry it the rest of the way? I'll just talk about Venom.
Oh, forget it. All right, let's talk about the week ahead.
All right.
So the third, we don't have to spend a lot of time on the Thursday game because...
What is the score of the Thursday game right now?
Right now it's 7-3, but when people listen to this game's over and they already know everything about it, so...
What was the spread?
The spread, right here on my bookie, it's 2.5. Eagles favored by 2.5. I saw it as 3 in a lot of places before I saw this.
I mean, obviously this one doesn't count, but I would have taken the Eagles.
I would have taken the Eagles as well. I'm not rarely going to bet on the Giants as I lost with them last week. And I do think the Eagles will turn it around. I don't know if it's this year. I mean, I don't know if it's this week, but I like them against
whenever
the
Giants. They get LeSean McCoy from Buffalo, which
might
will
happen
in the next few days.
They don't really, well, they made cap space too with Fletcher Cox.
Yep. No, it's happening. You can write that one in the books.
All right. Well, and we have an awful game to talk about.
Right off the top?
Yeah, I think this will take 2 seconds. Woo. We have the Cardinals going to Minnesota.
Ooh, well, there was an awful team that went to Minnesota not too long ago and won with a rookie quarterback as well.
An awful team that had a good defense, and I don't think you can call me on this anymore.
All right. Well, because they held the Titans to 12 points, that makes them a good defense?
I'm just saying they are not a terrible defense.
All right.
They're the only reason they won 2 games.
If you say so. Let's talk about this game. So Cardinals at Vikings, what's the spread?
I don't care. It's 10, and you couldn't get me to pick the Cardinals in this.
You don't think they're going to cover?
Nope.
10?
Nope.
All right. I mean, the Vikings haven't been very impressive. I mean, I know you've been...
I know.
All right. You say cover, no problem.
Cover, no problem.
All right. I'm gonna say the Cardinals cover this.
Really? This game? We got one.
Yep.
Fantastic. Oh, the next one's a fun one. We got your Los Angeles Chargers going to Cleveland.
Cleveland. The Los Angeles Chargers in Cleveland. In what month is it? It's October. The weather should be okay. The Chargers are just always a disappointment. What's the spread?
This has it as only 1.5.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right. For the Chargers are favored 1.5?
Yeah, but that's saying that
they're
on
gonna
neutral
win.
Field,
yeah.
the Browns are a better team.
No,
and I don't believe
it's
that.
In Cleveland.
Oh, right. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
You're welcome. Yeah. So the Chargers, yeah, I like that. The Chargers win. I like that.
I love these two coaching staffs going against each other.
Oh, because they're going to be fighting
Can
over who's going to lose.
Can I bet on the tie? Can I bet on the tie right now? Seriously, what do you think the odds are like
of a tie?
On the money line of the tie?
Oh, jeez. That would give the Browns 2 ties this year.
I know. Oh, the Browns are going to have 2 or 3 ties this year. He's awful.
This is not this week, my friend. The Chargers are going to win this game.
All right. I agree with that.
I know. You love the Chargers.
I do love the Chargers. It's the unis.
I know. They've got great
unis.
And a good fight song. The second best in the NFL.
And I love San Diego, even though they're not there anymore. That's helped my love for the Chargers.
That little tiny high school football field they play on is in Los Angeles, technically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
But it's definitely not in San Diego.
No, I know that.
The next game here is the Bears giving 4 to our Dolphins in our Dolphins home stadium.
Well, I already made my prediction.
Yes.
We both predicted the Dolphins to win by 1 point.
So we'll happily take the 4.
Yep.
So now we have the Carolina Panthers traveling to the Washington Redskins.
Ooh. The Redskins are a tough team to figure out. What's the line here?
The line is... I'm too old to see it. It's a pick 'em. That's why I couldn't see it.
That sounds about right. I like the Panthers.
I love the Panthers here. I think the Panthers are kind of underrated because people are tired of them and whatever.
Well, they just don't win by a lot. They win,
right?
Just not by a lot.
But
this is a game they win.
I think they're good, and Olsen may be coming back soon. Even though, like, we thought he might be lost for the year, and again, he could come back one play and be out.
Peterson was banged up too. And he's actually been playing well for them, for Washington.
He has.
And they don't have anybody else on offense, really.
No, Chris Thompson.
No, I meant, like, wide receivers, passing game. Like they. Have...
Well, he catches the ball.
That's true.
But, yes.
Yeah. No, I like the Panthers.
I love the Panthers in a pick'em.
Yeah, for sure.
That's total. All right. Your Indianapolis Colts are going to the New York Jets.
Oh, old school AFC East matchup.
Getting 2.5, so they're... Basically, giving the Colts a slight edge, but the home field, you
Jim
know.
Harbaugh versus Boomer Esiason, right? Remember?
I do remember.
Ha! I know, because you're old.
You remembered.
I know. I was a little kid, though. What's the line here?
Colts getting 2.5.
In New York. Andrew Luck against that Jets defense, which is average to good, I guess. Sam Darnold against the Colts defense, which I think is a little bit better than people give it credit for, even though they've been spanked the last couple weeks. What do you think?
I wouldn't bet on this one.
I wouldn't bet.
It's one of those. I wouldn't be surprised with either team blowing out the other team or a close game.
I like the Colts to win.
Just as a little sneaky fantasy for you DFS players or you folks playing the waiver wire, keep an eye out. Isaiah Crowell has not practiced the last 2 days. If he does not practice Friday, he may not start. He might not play. And if he does not play, Isaiah Bilal Powell will get all those rushing yards. And the Jets can run the ball. And if it's one guy running the ball, Bilal Powell will be a great play on Sunday against the Colts.
Yeah, he catches passes too. So, yeah, no, that's a good call. I like the Colts to win the game, I guess.
Just because I'd rather the Colts win the game, I'll go with that too.
Luck versus Darnold. I mean, if it's coming down, like I'm going to go with Luck.
Fair enough. Ooh, we may disagree on this because it's your favorite team.
The Cincinnati Bengals? I do love the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's so the Steelers are going to Cincinnati.
Oh, you mean the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, I like those AFC North teams.
Steelers on the road, no way. I do not.
What's the line?
The line is only 2. The Steelers are only getting 2, yeah, so and I think that's insane. I think the Bengals are a better team.
Bengals win.
But these are
the games where the Bengals have been traditionally better than the Steelers for years, a lot.
Right.
And they always lose.
But at home, I expect, I don't, Roethlisberger has not been.
Do you remember the playoff game?
Yeah, okay.
It was not that long ago.
I'm just saying, here's two teams that I will bet on only deciding by if they're home or away. And they both play, and they played each other last week. Steelers and Falcons. Different teams, home and away.
Oh, agreed. I know. That was what I called.
Yeah, and you were right.
I forgot. How right was I? What was the final score? It was like 42-17 or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they covered, though.
They more than covered.
All right, so we both love Cincinnati in that one.
Yes, we like Cincinnati home.
All right. This one.
Oh, there could not be a higher. What is the line?
Under over of 57. The line is only 3.5. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting 3.5 to go into Atlanta and have how many punts in this game? 1? 2?
Oh, man. Punts? That's a good. I'll take 2. I'll take 2 punts in this game.
Atlanta will not punt in this game, and
no.
Tampa may punt once or twice.
Yeah.
I would take. I mean, Atlanta needs to win, even though their season is over. They need to win. The Bucks, you know, they got Jameis starting now, which is probably better in the long run. But
they're gonna put some points up in this game.
This is a game you would have liked to see Fitzpatrick play this game, because this is the kind of game where he could have flung it around with their depleted defense. But I like Atlanta.
Be the only quarterback to ever throw 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in one game. Yeah, no, totally.
With the 3.5, I'd still lay the 3.5 with the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons win. This is going to be a hell of a shootout. What do you think the final score is going to be? Like 48-34, 48-40?
It's funny. The under-over is only 57.
Oh, I would.
I'd have to take the over in that.
I mean, I guess that's like, what is it, 57?
57.
That's like 30-27. Yeah, I mean, it could very well be that.
I mean, but that's crazy.
Because they could be longer
drives.
That's
crazy high.
It could be like.
Actually, I just have to scroll down here because I got to see what the, oh my God, what the under-over in the Chiefs. New England is even higher.
What's the? What about the Bengals? I mean, the Titans. Titans Ravens. That's going to be pretty low.
Yeah, I think it's 3. It's 41.
Oh, take the under, my friends.
And 41.5 for the Bears Dolphins.
Wow.
Yeah, nobody's scoring in that game unless it's the defense. The only way that goes over is with multiple.
I
defensive
did. I said
scores.
17-16. I guess that is under. Yeah. So all right.
All right, let's get us back on track here.
You lost me. Where are we at?
We have the Seattle Seahawks and the going to Oakland.
Ah, the old school AFC West matchup.
The Marshawn Lynch revenge game.
Yeah, what's the line here?
3. The Seahawks are favored by 3.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Well, they just almost beat the Rams.
Yeah, but that's because they play them all the time. Oakland. Oh, totally. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. The Seahawks aren't good. You've watched them, right?
I know, but I refuse to bet. I refuse to go
to
with
bet on Oakland
with Gruden. I will go against Gruden. So this might be our first, our second.
No, we've had
this,
a couple we already.
Had, no,
I
we
think.
Just had many. So I'm taking Seattle -3.
All right.
I do not like laying points with Seattle. As I say this,
no,
I'm like,
yeah,
this is terrible.
They're on the road too. Wow, no, man, I'm taking Oakland.
This is just I don't like Oakland,
and I love Seattle. Like, they're one of my favorite teams. I just they're not good this year. Like, I think last week was they were amped to. Yeah, they hate the Rams. I mean, and they play them all the time.
No, no, I get it.
So yeah, no, that was they're not that good.
All right, here's one for you.
All right.
Buffalo Bills at Houston.
Your favorite team, the Buffalo Bills defense. You love their defense.
When their defense beats us, you're going to be
Shut
singing
up.
Another tune.
I don't even care. I don't care. They're not good.
Buffalo is getting 10 in Houston to play the Texans.
They're going to cover that. Houston will not beat Buffalo by 10 points.
I agree.
Yeah.
They should win.
Houston will not beat anybody by 10 points.
No, not against that defense.
No. Right, they're very, very good. No,
all
right,
so your Los Angeles Rams are going to Denver, and they are favored by 7.
Oh, that's it.
Exactly. I will take the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams.
I think Denver. I think this is the Case Keenum revenge game.
You said that with a straight face. That was awesome, Rob.
I've been taking acting lessons.
That's really, really good. Yeah, no, everybody's seen the Rams this year, right?
Yeah, the Rams are...
And you saw the Broncos in New York. I mean, the Broncos are at home, and they're a better team at home, apparently. They played the Chiefs tough at home.
They did. But honestly, I think the Rams are better than the Chiefs because they're more complete.
Well, they're tougher. Yeah, they're better than the Chiefs, and they're also not in the same division, so the Broncos aren't as familiar with them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be hard for the Broncos to play against them.
So this is one. Well, actually, we may disagree on this because you think the Cowboys are better than I do. The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to Dallas, and they are only favored by 3.5 points.
Ooh.
And I like Jacksonville.
To cover?
Yeah, because I do not like Dallas.
I don't like Dallas. I mean,
I know. We went against them before because you have more faith in them than I do.
My whole thing with Dallas is usually when they're playing somebody like Ezekiel Elliott is like one of those transcendent players that is better than most of the people on the field at any time. So I feel like that gives them some leeway.
I don't know if you know this, but the Jacksonville Jaguars have a little running back named Jamal Charles now.
I saw that. Yeah, he's not the same Jamal Charles from a couple of years ago, though.
Well, I mean, it's the same guy.
Oh, no, it's the same person.
Yeah, it's him. It's actually right. Him. I checked his dental records.
Oh, man. I guess I like Jackson. Jacksonville's going to win for sure.
Well, 3.5, that's not a ton.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, yeah, it's basically a pick. I like Jacksonville.
All right. Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans. Who the hell knows what these two stupid teams are going to do week to week teams?
It's in Tennessee. What's the spread?
2.5. Baltimore is favored by 2.5.
Which one do you like better? I don't know.
I think Baltimore is a better team.
I think Baltimore is a better team.
I think Baltimore, even though they do weird things and they I'm not betting this one. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans win. But I would take the Ravens here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't bet on this game either. I think, oh man, it's really hard. It's so hard because they're so similar to each other. They're both like, their quarterbacks are like very, like, very hot and cold. I couldn't name you, like, the wide receivers are like, they're all okay. Actually, Tennessee has a very good running back, Derrick Henry. They just don't ever use him.
No, he's not a very... It turns out he's not a very good running back.
I disagree. I think he's a very good running back.
He's not. They've used him this year. He's terrible.
Maybe
I don't know why he's terrible.
I don't know.
But even Lewis is having trouble running. He ran well the first couple weeks, and he's pretty much been stymied.
Their offensive line's banged up a little bit, right? Luan got hurt.
I guess.
In the Dolphins game. And the other one, Conklin got hurt too, didn't he? Whatever. Their offensive line's a little bit. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. These teams are very, very similar.
We'll let the Titan holes talk about that.
Jesus. I don't know. Baltimore, I guess, because they crush us every time. Yeah, I'll take Baltimore.
All right. Let's have some fun. Kansas City Chiefs going into New England.
What is the line?
The Chiefs are favored by 3.5.
In New England, they're favored.
Oh, no, they are not. It's +3.5.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
New England is favored.
Yeah.
But by 3.5, meaning they think New England's even better on a neutral field.
No.
Because they're getting the extra half.
Oh, well, okay. Yes. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
I know, yeah. I'm terrible at this, but I got that one right.
I think New England's better than Kansas City.
I don't know if I believe that yet. I think they will be in come playoff time. But well, right now,
when you
I don't
factor
know if they
in
are.
Coaching, I think New England's better than Kansas City.
Regular season Andy Reid, I don't know.
New England's defense is better than Kansas City's defense.
Here's
Kansas
a
City's
crazy
offense
thought.
Is better than New England's offense.
If
however,
we can beat the Bears, we might have sole possession of first place, depending on this game.
Oh, sure.
Because New England could lose this game, because the Chiefs are a fine team.
They're not going to lose. They're not going to lose. New England wins this game.
So it's, you say New England wins this game.
Yep, and covers. Oh, wow. Did you set it up to like start at an hour?
This is the time it normally ends.
Oh, wow.
So real quick, because I think we're right there. San Francisco and Green Bay. Oh, that's an awful game. I don't even want to talk about it.
Green Bay wins. What's the cover? What's the spread?
10.
Oh, I don't know if they cover.
Hey, everybody. It's Neil Patel, editor-in-chief of The Verge. I host a podcast every week called The Verge Cast with my friends Paul Miller and Dieter Bohn. We've got a rotating cast of characters from our entire site, which is about technology, how it impacts culture, and how that is all a big cycle that causes us to have a wide variety of feelings that you can listen to every Friday. We've done over 300 episodes in the 6 years since The Verge has been around, but you only need to listen to one, the latest one, to get caught up on everything in tech news. Verge Cast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere else you listen to podcasts, check it out.